Well, dear friends in Christ, grace and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Because Christ is risen indeed. A good friend of mine sent me an email a while back with a story that I thought, yeah, it was very fitting for Easter. The story took place years ago. As I look about here, some of you will remember when you went to the gas station, there was an attendant to fill your car up with gas. And then some of you, I'm looking around, and you probably don't remember that, but a lot of us remember that. Well, this story happens during that time. A minister had taken his car to the gas station to fill up with gas, and there was a long line. It was the start of a holiday weekend, and probably a Friday, and everybody was there, and this gas station attendant was very busy filling up the car with gas. Finally, he got to the pastor. He said, "Reverend, I'm so sorry about the delay. It seems as if everyone waits until the last minute to get ready for a long trip." And the minister said, "I know what you mean. It's the same in my business." Yeah, that happens. We tend to put off thinking about death, don't we? Or preparing for eternal life. It's a human tendency. Just imagine for a minute you go to a dinner party and there's kind of a lull in the conversation. You say, "Let's talk about death. How are you preparing for eternity?" I think it'd get very quiet, wouldn't it? And probably quite uncomfortable. Yet, Easter morning is a great time to talk about this because that's the reality, that's the truth that Easter addresses. We have to face our mortality and then hear the good news that Jesus Christ is victorious over death and ask God, give us faith in Christ's resurrection. Today, Christians all around the world are celebrating Easter, the good news of the resurrection. It's our belief as Christians that death is not the end. Christ is victorious. He has prepared a place for us, he tells us in John 14, and we will get there by his grace and by his victory over death. All four of the Gospels tell us the story of that empty tomb on that Sunday morning. Their details sometimes differ a little bit, but the same thing is true in each Gospel, that tomb is empty. Mark's Gospel, we read earlier, "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." The tomb is empty. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Listen again to what the Apostle Paul wrote. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and to the 12. Paul said that what happened on Good Friday and then on that Sunday, just after that Friday, are of first importance. We do not have a Christian faith if these are not true. If the resurrection did not happen, Paul tells us, our faith is in vain." But not everybody agrees with that. There was an article in the Arizona Republic a number of years ago about neo-atheists. These are the new atheists who say belief in life beyond the grave is not only irrational, but it's dangerous and the cause of trouble in our world. Well, we shouldn't be surprised. There have always been people that deny the resurrection of Christ, who deny the possibility of life beyond death. Ernest Hemingway, great author, he rejected the Christianity of his home. And as he neared death, here's what he wrote. "There is no remedy for anything in life. Death is a sovereign remedy for my misfortunes. I live in a vacuum that is lonely as a radio tube when the batteries are dead and there's no current plugged into it." Can you imagine that kind of despair and how painful that kind of hopelessness and despair is? But God has set eternity in our hearts. And if we have no hope for life beyond the grave, life loses its meaning. Life loses its purpose. The good news of the resurrection is true. It's not a metaphor of some vague sense of hope that some would have us believe. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an historical event that has changed the lives of billions of people with the assurance of the abundant life we can have right today and that we can have forever with him. And hear what Peter, one of the first to get to the empty tomb, said about the resurrection of Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, did you hear what Peter said there? He said, God has given you and will continue to give you a living hope. More than ever, I think today we need hope. Today, Easter Sunday, is a day of hope. Today is a day for your life to be changed from disappointment to hope, from despair to hope, from hurt to hope and healing, and from fear to believe that things are going to turn out better. If you've ever received bad news, you know that bad news can just knock the stuffings right out of you. When there's a sense of quiet desperation and it takes over, you know you need hope. Hope is to our spirits what oxygen is to our bodies. With hope, without hope, we perish. And I'm here this morning to tell you there is hope. There is always hope because God is the God of hope, no matter what bad news we might hear. You may be at a place right now this morning where you're wondering, where's this hope coming from? Are things ever going to be better? And I want you to know that because Jesus is raised from the dead, because Jesus is our living Savior, there is hope. There's always hope. Don't give up. There is hope. God wants you to have a living hope. Because of the resurrection, he wants you to know there's always hope. Because what's impossible is possible with our great God. And when I say you can live with hope, I don't mean wishful thinking. That's how we often use that word, hope. I hope the weather's nice tomorrow. I hope my favorite team wins the game today. That's not what this is about. In the Bible, hope is a promise of assurance. You can bank on it. When God says it, he will follow through on that promise. And so hope is a confident expectation that the future is in God's care. The good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his victory over the grave, is the greatest source of hope the world has ever received. And so let me describe to you two assurances that we can have because Christ conquered the grave. The first one is that the resurrection can give you the assurance that death is not the end. I've had the wonderful privilege over the year to officiate at many, many baptisms, and some of them are really quite memorable. And one that I was thinking about in preparation from the sermon is one that happened probably 25 years or so ago. It happened in Kingman, Arizona in January. I was a pastor in Kingman for a number of years. And if you know anything about Kingman in January, it's cold at that time of year. Well, we had a young family that had started coming to the church, and they had some young children. And I got to know them and found out that they were formerly Catholics, raised Catholic. In their early 20s, they joined an evangelical church in Southern California. They were baptized once again in the Pacific Ocean, and that immersion baptism was so meaningful for them. And so after church, as they came up and shook my hand, they said, Pastor, we were wondering if you would baptize our children. I said, I'd be honored to do that. They said, well, we'd love to have them baptized, but we'd like to have an immersion baptism. I said, that would be awesome. I don't know if I'd done one before, immersion baptism. I said, but where are we going to do it? It's January. It's cold outside. We could go to Lake Havasu City, but in January it's still cold. We could go to the Colorado River down in Bullhead City. That water is always cold, even in July. Anybody know of a swimming pool that's heated? No, we couldn't think of a swimming pool that was heated. But there was a couple standing right next to us, overheard our conversation. And their last name, and this is an important detail to the story, their last name is Pope. And they overheard the conversation, and they said, excuse us, but we overheard you talking, and just want to tell you, we have a hot tub inside our house. You can do the baptism there. We talked about it. I said, great. We all agreed. So a few days later, we met at their home, and I climbed in the hot tub, and three children, one at a time, climbed in with me. And they were each baptized. And it was just a wonderful, joyful day. But I want you to get this for a moment. I want you to hear God's sense of humor. Former Catholics had their children baptized in the Pope's hot tub. Isn't that great? Only God can do that. Well, one of the children was 9-year-old Amanda. Just a sweet little girl, 9 years old. Well, a few years later, that family moved from Kingman, and then a few years later, Lynn and I left Kingman, and we lost track of each other. So you can imagine my surprise when one day, when we're in Fountain Hills after the worship service, this young couple came up to greet me, and she said to me, "Pastor, do you remember me? My name's Amanda." Oh, I remembered Amanda. And she introduced me to her new husband. They'd just been married, I think, less than a year. And we talked, and we asked about her family, and we laughed. And I said, "You remember when you were baptized?" Oh, she remembered she was baptized in a hot tub at the Pope's house, you know. Wonderful conversation. As they went to leave, they lived in Phoenix, only about 20 minutes from us, and we talked. We said, "We're going to get together soon. We need to talk some more." And off they went. But 1 week later, I got an email from Amanda's mother, and she died in her sleep the night before. 29 years old, full of life. Sudden, tragic, and as we know, death is always final. What do you tell a non-Christian, where does a non-Christian look to find comfort at a time like that? I don't know where a non-Christian looks to find comfort. Where does a Christian look? Oh, I know that. We look for Jesus. We look to him. We look to his resurrection, that he conquered death, and those who believe in him have the promise that we'll be with him for eternity. That's where our comfort is. We find it in his promise. We find it in his promise that when we are baptized, we were joined to Christ. We were joined to his death, and just as he was raised from the grave, so too we will be raised from him. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 6. "Do you not know all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Friends, that's the only word that can bring comfort when we're grieving. That's it. That's God's word. That's God's promise. God's promise that when we are in Christ, when we know Christ, have a relationship with him, we will experience eternity with him. I think that's the only word that can comfort a grieving family. Because Jesus conquered death and lives, we too will live because we are claimed by him. We will spend eternity in his presence. The resurrection is at the very heart of the Christian faith. A theologian by the name of Gerald O'Connell wrote this: "In a profound sense, Christianity without the resurrection is not simply Christianity without its final chapter, it's not Christianity at all." That's so true. Without Jesus rising from the dead, we do not have a Christian faith. The Apostle Paul said it this way: "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain." Billy Graham once said this: "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it." "I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." Billy Graham, he believed we were made for eternity, and because he was joined with Christ, he would live with Christ forever. The Apostle Paul begins the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, a chapter all about the resurrection, his argument for the resurrection. He begins it with these words: "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain." even before Paul lays out his argument for the resurrection and the rest of the chapter, he first encourages faith in the good news. Faith he told, or good news he told them previously, and now good news he wants to remind them of. He is saying, hold fast to the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because your salvation depends on it. The resurrection gives you assurance that death is not the end. British atheist Bertrand Russell once wrote a book titled, Why I Am Not a Christian. Near the end of his life, he was interviewed by BBC, and they asked him what he had to hang on to when death was so close. And here was his response. I have nothing to hang on to but grim, unyielding despair. You know, how is that for comfort? It doesn't offer much comfort. But contrast that with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Some of you know he was a Lutheran pastor, a resister of the Nazis, and he was executed by them. As he was led from his prison cell to go to the gallows to be hung, here are his last words to his cellmates. He said this, "This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life." Now there is strength and comfort in those words, in that understanding. He had the assurance that death is not the end because he had faith in Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection can give you assurance that there's more to life. The resurrection also can give you assurance that you're never alone. We worship a Savior who promised to be with you always. Of all the great religions of the world, only Christianity has the promise that its founder is still alive. Jesus lives. We have his assurance that we're never alone. He will be with us always. At Christmas time, we hear that one of his titles is Emmanuel, which means God with us. On Easter time, we say we have a risen Emmanuel who will never leave us because he's the one who said, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the ages." I have stood at many hospital beds over the years, and I can tell you personally what a calming assurance it is to know that Christ is present in that room. It just brings peace to know that Jesus is there. And with that hope that he is there, we pray, believing he hears those prayers and will respond to them. If you were going to have surgery, many of you have done this, would you want to hear these words? Let's ask Christ to be present with you in the operating room. Or, good luck. I hope it all works out. You know, if we don't have Christ, what do we have? Whatever the situation we are in, we have hope because Jesus Christ is alive and he's with us. Our hope is a living hope in a Savior who rose from the dead. That does not mean we won't have our struggles. We won't have our troubles. That's part of the human condition. But we know even as we go through those valleys, our Savior Jesus is alive and he's with us. And sadly, it's not just atheists and skeptics who don't believe in the resurrection. There are Christians today who do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. They think the resurrection is a symbol of new life, or I've heard it described as a metaphor describing how life can turn out all right even when things go bad. And they say this symbol or metaphor is supposed to give us hope. I don't know about you, but when I'm standing in a gravesite, I need it far more than a metaphor or a symbol. I need the promise of Jesus that he broke the bonds of death and that in Christ we will rise with him. Some of you remember the late J. Vernon McGee, who was a great preacher, often on the radio. A woman once wrote him and said this, Pastor McGee, our preacher said that on Easter, Jesus just swooned on the cross and the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? Well, that's a fairly common argument. Doesn't make any sense, but a fairly common argument for those who don't believe in the resurrection. But listen to how he answered her question. Dear sister, beat your preacher with a leather whip for 39 heavy strokes, nail him to a cross, hang him in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, put him in an airless tomb for 3 days, then see what happens. What did Paul write? Paul said, no resurrection, no hope. Your faith is in vain. There was a British pastor by the name of W.E. Sanger, and he, in the prime of his life, was struck with an incurable disease that first took his voice and then took his life. And here's something he wrote to his daughter about a week before Easter as he was dying. He wrote, it is a terrible thing to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, he is risen. But it would still be more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout it out. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now on a personal note, it was 11 years ago this month that my mother died. It was shortly after Easter. I got word from my dad that I better get home because she didn't have many days left. So Monday morning, right after Easter Sunday, I got on a plane and I flew to their home. And my brother met me at the airport. And my brother took me and we drove to the home, our parents' home. And on the way, he said, by the way, he said, Steve, don't expect Mom to respond to you or even know you. She's been pretty much unconscious for the last 24 more hours. And so I said, okay, I kind of know what to expect. So we walked into the home, and I saw my mom. I went right to her bed, and because it was the day after Easter, I said to her, Mom, Christ is risen. And she opened her eyes, she looked me in the eye, and she said, he is risen indeed. And those were the last words my mom ever spoke to me. She went back to that coma, didn't speak to me again until she died. But you know, I'm so grateful to have heard her confession or her testimony of faith. She knew that her Savior is alive, and she anticipated being with him. There are a number of you here this morning or watching online who are grieving the death of a family member, maybe this year, grieving that death. You are well acquainted with sorrow, and I pray that God will comfort you. And that he will comfort you with that promise, that assurance, that good news that Jesus lives. And because he lives, we can live too. The resurrection is not a symbol or simply a metaphor. It is reality of the power of God. This morning, we join followers of Jesus in every land and we shout it out, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, by your death and your resurrection, you redeemed a lost world. Assure all of us that because you live, we shall live also. Give us confidence that you are present with us so that our worries or despair may be turned to hope. And help us to wait and not grow weary until you come again. Amen.